Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Join our party line now. 1-800.
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
Super big dick energy.
Super. But
did you have fun?
I had a blast.
I had a really good time.
I was exhausted.
Is 2/6 of the funniest gay comics.
Bisexual.
America's favorite bisexuals.
Is pussy work or pussy work?
Everybody pussy work! Yeah, pussy work! Yeah, pussy work!
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
We think this juice stuff is very funny.
All right, so
especially when you think about it, there's no good reason that Bird and Aladdin would get along.
I'll peck your eyes out.
God damn.
You goddamn mongrel.
No.
Oh, oh my God. Well, Adam, thanks for being on the last
man,
episode.
The Ed Hollander Attack Show.
Tell him I'm fucking coming!
Hello, America. Thank you for listening to Ad Hominem Radio. This is Chris Paul.
I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
Here with Jeremy Shear.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt.
Tabitha Jones.
Where did you learn your trade, you stupid fucking cunt, you idiot?
And Kyle Honhorst.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove.
Hello, everybody. It's the Ad Hominem Radio program with Chris Paul and Tabitha's here.
Tabitha's here for ye old Ad Hom Radio program.
Tabitha Jones.
First Steve called me Tabatha.
Tabatha?
Yeah, that's what you call a Tabitha with three A's in their name, which is not a real Tabitha.
Tabatha or not Tabatha?
That is the question. I need Tabatha. A little stinky.
It's been a little while.
1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said, I'm angry.
That's funny. That's like a generational or like a cool test. Uh-huh. Because I think that's cooler than it's been. And then the other person goes, wow.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, it's been a while.
It's been a while since I
sound like Christian Eddie Vedder.
Oh, man. Eddie Vedder.
What a Sunday morning.
Do you remember the Adam Sandler, Opperman?
Yes. Are you familiar with the Weird Al song, My Baby's in Love with Eddie Vedder?
No.
It was one of his like original like polka songs, and it was on his 1999 album, Running with Scissors. And it's actually a Zydeco song, and I saw Weird Al this past Tuesday. Life-changing experience, first of all. But I really got to show my my true annoying nerd colors, because it was all like B-sides and like original songs he was doing this tour, and he's introing this song.
Did he do like a little grouping of classics?
He came out for an encore and did a cover of Mama Told Me Not to Come, and then did a medley of like Amish Paradise,
okay,
Smells Like Nirvana, White and Nerdy, Yoda.
He just gives you a little sampler platter.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. This was called like the return of the ill-advised self-indulgent vanity tour. And just being like, I got like a shirt that's like the return of the old men sitting on stools. No hits. We're probably only going to have fun. But it was really good. Like, they still brought their whole like crazy like light show game and everything. I've never seen Weird Al live personally, but what I really appreciated about his live show was that he had, like, every kind of lighting and, like, stage effect set up. So, like, when he does his, like, kind of lesser known Rage Against the Machine parody, you're getting like these like really harsh strobe lights like you would at like a Rage Against the Machine show. Mm-hmm. And then they did like their like 80s hair metal kind of song, and just like all these like lasers everywhere. It was very
I feel like there's a like Weird Al is the only parody song person that like people like. That's like, I feel like that's generally like a morning radio, like,
yeah, I feel like, you know, he's the only one to really capitalize a whole career off of it.
Yeah.
And I think it is, you can attest that to the fact that he is just so good at it.
Yeah, he, because it's his ability to mimic. And I think like with most people that do impressions, I like Jay Moore. I know that's not a lot of people like Jay Moore anymore, but yeah. I like his impressions because he says shit that person would say on top of like just sounding like them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and it's like mannerisms. Like, it's a whole essence, like, impression.
Exactly. And with Weird Al, you're not just getting someone taking a song and changing the lyrics to
yeah.
it. They're embodying literally the whole style of the song.
Yeah. Smells Like Nirvana, he sounds like Kurt Cobain.
Exactly. It's so good. And yeah, I can't remember what song he played, but I leaned over to Dylan and I was like, I love Weird Al's like blank voice. Like, you can tell he was like, that was the voice. Oh, he did one, like, it's a Jim Morrison voice. Like, they have a whole Doors parody that's like about Craigslist. And it was like unhinged. He did like an extended, like, because it goes from like one verse about like, got a scooter for sale, and it's really nice. And it goes from, like, stuff for sale, just stuff for, like, free, to, like, a missed connections, to, like, to the snotty barista at this place. When I held up my finger to say 1 minute, it was because I was on the phone and needed to finish my conversation. I was on the phone with my mother! Mother! And he does like a whole Jim Morrison, just like, mother, I'm through the desert. And in front of me. And then like, he goes, it's like 6 minutes long. And then at the end, he's just like, hold on, mother, this barista's saying something to me. And it's just like, bitch, what the fuck? Like, wait to commit. To like,
yeah.
That's not even one of his like well-known songs, and he's still like, we're gonna get all the psychedelic lights. This is gonna be the one where I stand up and just hold on to the microphone stand. Like, I'm gonna do
yeah,
my Jim Morrison voice.
Yeah,
it's a whole to do. He also did the song. Are you familiar with Albuquerque?
No.
That was another one off of 1999's Running with Scissors. It's a 12-minute long song, which actually reminds me a lot of Nick Yurick. It's just like an anecdote. At the end of the 12-minute long song, he's like, oh yeah, the point I'm trying to get across is I hate sauerkraut. After you've like followed him to Albuquerque and from Albuquerque, and he gets a job at the Sizzler, and he goes to get donuts one day, and there's like a whole bit in the 12-minute long song where he's like, you got any glazed donuts? And the guy's like, no, we don't got any glazed donuts. Well, do you have any jelly-filled donuts? And they go back and forth with like six different kinds of donuts. Live, the song was almost 20 minutes long.
The commitment to a tangent is,
the donut
yeah.
section was almost like 7.5 minutes long itself. Like, I was, and I just found myself, like, in a trance. Like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
It's weird. Weird Al is one of those, like, I loved him as a kid and like growing up and stuff. And I think that's when he was like the most popular.
Oh yeah.
And then I didn't, I don't know, like there's a period where everything you like as a kid you think is like for children and you're like, you know,
yeah,
you try to get away from it.
And, I get that.
I came back to Weird Al when he was on Comedy Bang Bang.
Okay. That was kind of when I came back too, because even though I didn't act, I don't remember actively being like, oh, I'm not into Weird Al anymore. But I just know that there is like maybe like two albums where I was like, oh, cool, a new Weird Al song. And like I watched, I was like, haha, that's fun.
Yeah.
But then like never got into the album or anything.
Right.
And then he kind of came back around like 2013, I think, with another full parody album, and I got a little bit more into that.
Yeah, you know, in between there, I do remember enjoying, he did, was it the White Nerdy thing, and that was like also the Bob Saget sort of comeback, because he was in the video.
Donny
and stuff.
Osmond was in the video too.
Yeah. But I think that was like, I feel like that was when people came back around on Bob Saget and were like, oh, he's not just the funniest home videos guy.
Yeah. R.I.P. Bob Saget.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me.
Saget, Norm Macdonald.
To go from like a child that really consumed a lot of Full House, to go from that into like dirty comedy.
Yeah.
It really, like, I always really embraced Bob Saget as, like, him just kind of representing the trajectory of my life, more or less. Like, from this, like, oh, man, he's silly, wacky Danny Tanner, to just, like, oh, yeah, he's sucking dick for cocaine.
That was the same period, like, people hate to hear this, but the Opie and Anthony show, like, because it was a syndicated show out of New York, they had, like, the whole New York comedy scene coming through and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, they, I wouldn't say they made a bunch of people, but that's where I remember, like, Bob Saget resurfacing from my childhood and shit like that. And a bunch of guys, like, they would have on like the guy that played Buzz on Home Alone.
Fuck yeah.
When he was like a touring comic, he would hang out on there all the time.
That's fun.
And like the guy that Greg Brady.
Yeah, Barry Williams.
Yeah. He's like was early 2000s like became friends with Anthony.
That's
and,
hilarious.
Like pre when we thought, like, Republicans were still just annoying and not, like, over-the-top racist.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Patrice and, like, the comics. But, yeah, and, like, Jay Moore, like, all those people, that's where I, like, had seen them on TV and thought they were terrible. And then, like, heard them just hanging out on a radio show. And was like, oh, there, that was a gig.
I love
like,
that.
That. For Bob Saget, that was like, well, fuck it, of course I'm on Full House and all this stuff. Like, I'm making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And,
like, I think that's, I love the duality of, like, Bob Saget, too, is just be like, well, yeah, of course I'm on Full House. I'm making that sweet, sweet cash.
Yeah.
But, like, also to, like, there was, they did, like, something for, like, before they even did, like, Fuller House, they did, like, some reunion, and Bob Saget, like, spoke at it and was, like, very genuine about just being, like, we grew up together. Like, you were my girls. Like, I went from being just, like, this dude in his mid-20s to, like, being, like, an adult, like, through the years we worked together. And, like, you were my family. And I wouldn't be anywhere without, like, these people that, like, I felt were my family and still are.
Yeah.
And I think that did a lot for people that kind of only did think, like, oh, dirty Bob Saget, he was only doing the wholesome family show for the money. It's like, no, it's not like he hated being there the whole time.
Yeah, you can be both things. Like, you
the
don't
duality
have to,
of man.
Yeah. Well, I look at like a show like Letterkenny.
Yeah.
It's a filthy show, but it's like the most wholesome characters I've ever seen.
Man, if I had money, if I, like, came into some money and I just, like, had to be, like, I gotta put this toward a business venture of some sort, I would want to remake an exact replica of Uncle Jesse's The Smash Club from Full House.
I don't know. I don't remember this.
There's a point, like, maybe like four seasons in. There's, like, a club he used to go to when he was a kid.
Club Smash?
The Smash Club. And so he buys the Smash Club and, like, renovates it. But I would not want to do this so I could take on the Uncle Jesse role of, like, running the Smash Club and everything. I'd find someone else to do that. My goal would be to make the Smash Club so I would constantly have a place to, yes, do my comedy, but I would be dressed up as Uncle Joey the whole time.
You could hire Dave. I mean, you could get Uncle Joey.
I could.
Likely.
Do you think Dave Coulier would marry me?
Would you go down on him in a theater?
Yes.
Probably.
See ya, Dylan. I had the Dollar General Uncle Joey.
You know
I
what?
Got the real thing.
I'm going to say this on Dylan's behalf. Cut it out.
Cut it out.
Dave Cooley is in town once in a while.
He is. That's I would like hilarious. To see him. I've never seen him.
I bet he's not bad.
Someone I would also like to see. I know he came through to Hilarities before I was, like, living in the Cleveland area, so I couldn't as easily go and see him, but Tom Green. I want to go and see Tom Green.
I just, last episode that I posted, Jeremy and I had been talking about Tom Green.
Okay.
I am not.
You're not a fan?
Not the stand-up Tom Green.
Okay. I can get that.
That's what I was saying in
the
last episode.
I don't think I've seen any of his actual stand-up.
It's very much like just how, you know, we didn't have the internet when I was growing up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a very, like, 90s kid stand-up
Shit.
That he was doing.
Ugh.
I guess, he was doing it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, like, it was enough of a thing by the time I saw it that I was like,
oh no.
Come on, man,
yeah.
This is...
I just remember, because I went to a show at Hilarities that, before the show started, they were advertising how Tom Green was going to be there, and the clip that they played, like, to advertise Tom Green, it wasn't any stand-up or anything, they just played a bunch of clips from Freddy Got Fingered.
I would go to that.
Same!
I would love that.
If he did a live reading of the Freddy Got Fingered script.
We should do that.
Yes, we should.
That's doable.
Oh my God,
that's
yes,
a thing,
it is.
Right?
Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausages?
I watched that every weekend with my friend Brian, and we would get like a box of 30 beers or a beer box and watch Freddy Got Fingered every weekend when the kids were like babies.
I'm backwards man.
Yeah, my wife at the time was working like third shift at a nursing home or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just get shit faced, let the babies cry, and watch Freddy Got Fingered.
Hell yeah, that's what I would do if I had kids.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's good for their lungs.
Yeah. And work it
out. Yeah. Yeah, Tom Green's at least that first special.
Because
I was excited. Like, I wanted to see what it was. Like, I didn't go into it. I wanted to like it.
Yeah.
And I got like 10 minutes in. And I was already doing stand-up. And I had just seen all this stuff at it, like open mics and stuff.
Gross.
Which I think is a big problem with when famous people start stand-up is they don't do, like, the shit shows and see, like, all the shitty takes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't know that they're saying the same thing.
Yeah, and I think that's where my excitement comes from is, like, I hear Tom Green. I want, like, Tom Green show and Freddy Got Fingered Tom Green. But, like, how are we going to translate that to stand-up?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's, you know, my, I don't know, my...
My wife.
Cell phone was a pull start computer. I don't know, whatever the fuck those people.
Oh, Jesus. Whatever they talk about.
Yeah. Those nostalgia comics.
That makes me upset.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Because it's just, I don't know. It's such a dumb thing. Like, I'm 41. Like, I grew up alongside, like, there was no internet, and then there was a slow internet, and then there was a fat, like, it doesn't, of course. Yeah, we used to use phones, and now we use other, like, use them for other things. Who gives a shit?
There used to be landlines.
Who gives a shit? They're trying to remove abortion.
Yeah. What's the humor behind there used to be this, and now there is not?
Technology moves ahead. I don't remember there being, like, a long tradition of, like, Groucho Marx was like, ah, these cars, huh? You know, when I was growing up, we had to feed our horsepower. that could be a sketch, I guess.
What if that was, like, the early Groucho Marx stand-up?
It's like a 20-minute... I should do a 20-minute special as Groucho Marx complaining about period-accurate things that had changed since he was a kid.
Please do. I would support this wholeheartedly.
Or maybe just, like, a 2-minute sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to commit.
I would have to commit like Weird Al.
Yeah, I would have to, like, go just a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's not a good thing.
That's not a good paw look.
No. We've seen that.
We have.
It's a disaster.
A disaster.
It's a, like, beyond, like, you look like a pedophile. It's like you look like you have full on orgies with children.
You look like a super pedophile.
Yeah, you jump in a phone booth and put on a cape.
Oh my god. Had to keep myself from saying super pedophile again. Oh no, I said it again!
Remember Super Freddy?
Oh yeah.
The one Nightmare on Elm Street.
I had to search for it for a second. I was like,
I don't know why. I was just thinking about Freddy for a minute. I just stopped talking and started thinking about Freddy Krueger.
Sometimes I do be thinking about Freddy.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Remove the remake from your memory. Mm-hmm. Is Freddy a pedophile?
I don't think so.
I think that original thing, there maybe it was implied in some later sequel.
Yeah.
But I think that was always a, he just killed kids.
Same. That's what I always thought, you know, he's a child murderer.
Yeah.
You know, he's literally the stuff of nightmares because he's going to snatch up these kids and kill them. And then I felt like it was almost like, oh, you know, lots of people kill kids.
I think that impression comes from some, like, so Nancy's not in the second one. Mm-hmm. The second one, you can't even, like, it's just a big weird gay metaphor. Like, it's,
yes.
You skip that one. In my mind, that's not, like, a canonical sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Nancy's back in the third one, and that's where things, like, get really good.
Exactly.
I
also, with the second one, too, with, like, the whole big, like, gay thing, it almost seems like them just trying to shoehorn in almost, like, more, like, gay panic horror. Because, like, the whole thing was always, you know, like, gay people are pedophiles, and they're going to make your kids gay.
But even in that one, there's no, like, Freddy isn't sexual towards the kid.
Yeah.
Like, there's innuendo,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's more Freddy, just, you know, he's a real pill, that guy. He's a real card.
I watched a whole documentary about that second one, and how, like, the the main guy in it, like, disappeared from Hollywood after that just because he was, like, tormented so much. And
by, the, like, by, psychologically?
No, by, like, because he was a gay actor. He wasn't out. And there was just, like, so much afterwards about, like, it being this whole, like, gay thing. And there was, like, this whole thing.
So
where, like,
he felt like he, like, was being forced out by the part?
Kind of, because, well, then there was, like, a thing as well with, like, either the director or, like, the producer or something where,
Like, the director is very openly gay, right?
Well, at the time, in an interview, they asked him about, like, if it was supposed to be, like, a homosexual allegory or something. And I can't remember if it was, like, the producer or the writer or something like that. He basically made the claim of being, like, if there was any homosexual undertones or like, tone to that, it came from the main actor. And
well,
the guy's like, whoa, like, this kid's, like, not out. Basically just being, like, the only reason it's gay is because the guy we got to be the main character is a big ol' homo.
I mean, because it's also, like, the people that pick up on that are, like, have some level of gaydar, too. So, I mean, I think that's possible that, mm-hmm. like, his, just at, like,
but also,
he just came off, especially in the 80s, he came off like a gay kid.
But also,
in that
Chris,
whole movie.
Are you going to really say if any gay undertones were present in that movie, they came from that kid when there's literally a scene of a coach getting his ass whipped
in
a shower by
Freddy?
I forgot
about that, because he finds him at a gay club and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't blame that on one homosexual actor when there's literally, like... It was a very interesting documentary, too, because they just talked to a lot of, like, gay horror fans that were just like, oh, that movie was, like, what was, like, light bulb. Like, I watched Freddy whip, like, the shit out of that coach's ass, and I was like,
yeah,
what's happening here?
Yeah. Oh, there's a little blood flow.
I hope this doesn't awaken anything in me, to quote Dean from Community.
It's also a very, it's a weird, because that typically is the female role in a horror movie, too.
The final girl.
Yeah. So, like, that adds, like, even another layer of 80s gay.
I just read this book that, this, like, novel that essentially is set in this other universe where like, instead of having like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they have like Meat Hook Jamboree, but like Meat Hook Jamboree is inspired by like an actual like mass murder. So like in this world there's all of these like real final girls that are just basically like trying to survive after all of these like real life horror movies play out and then inspire these franchises.
So they're just like dealing with the fact that their characters in a movie.
Well, so the thing is, so it's called Final Girl Support Group. And when we approach when we enter the book, they've been meeting for 16 years because they're basically have formed the support group to just be like, okay, like, we have made, like, influenced these franchises and whatnot and, like, become these, like, morbid celebrities, but, like, we're still dealing with the aftermath of being part of mass murders.
You know who could have used that group is Heather Langenkamp in
Saw.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I was thinking Heather and Saw.
Or
no,
New
that,
Nightmare, where she's, like... the actress Heather and being haunted by Freddy coming into the real world.
In the book, the girl whose mass murder or like teen slasher bullshit is inspired by Nightmare on Elm Street, her name is Heather after like that, like a roundabout way of like, because like the one that was in like Texas Chainsaw, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre situation, like she's named Marilyn because like one of the actresses in Texas Chainsaw Massacre was named Marilyn.
Did you watch the new one?
No, I watched a lot of YouTube videos about how people hated it, though.
Yeah, it's not great.
It looked awful.
It's
they're
going to
cancel Leatherface. There's that second that moment where like they're like they have their like phones out. They're like, oh, you're getting canceled, buddy.
Yeah.
The book was really good.
I think it's a very conservative take on Leatherface, where he's just murdering all these queer and like liberal college kids that came into town to gentrify it.
Yeah.
Just murdering Gen Z kids.
Ridiculous.
But it's also they went through all this trouble of calling it a direct sequel to the original.
Yeah.
And they even got some old lady to pretend she was a different old lady that was actually in the original, which I didn't realize. I thought that was the original actress and that was like the whole thing.
But no.
But then that character is so bad.
Yeah.
Like she's just been living in a trailer, Michael Madsen style. For, you know, since the original, and then comes back to town and immediately he just fucking cuts her in half.
It's like they saw those new Halloweens and were like...
It's exactly that.
Like, oh, let's do this, but then she immediately dies.
It's the prequel or the requel
thing
that now that Scream has called that out, it's not going to work anymore.
No, I've been getting big into like horror books. I've been reading a lot of horror novels. Eaten those up. I found like one author that like, because like I read a lot of horror growing up too, but like kind of like base level horror of like Anne Rice, Stephen King, you know. This one author, Grady Hendrix, though, that did that Final Girls support group, he's done like 5 other horror books, and like it's the only author I've found that like I'm reading something and like I'm reacting the same way as to if I were seeing it on the screen. Like, I'm literally sitting there reading, like, oh my god! Oh no! Whoa.
I remember reading It in middle school, and the infamous gangbang part, as I was the same age as these kids, and that was the first where he starts describing their members.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with this one day. I like all of what's going on here. Like
everything happening here.
What a weird book.
What a very strange book.
Yeah, which is none of the movies. I mean, there's only been 2 tries, but they don't do any of, like, Stephen King has a whole fucking weird cosmic backdrop all this shit's happening in, too, that's, like, makes it less scary and more, like, what?
Yeah, you're more, like, just baffled by the existence of this universe.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. Did you ever read, it was probably a more, like, recent in terms of, like, 90s Stephen King, it was The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
No, I didn't. I read a bunch of them as a kid, and I haven't read as much as an adult just reading a book.
I've been going nuts these last few months. I've finished like 9 books in the last like 2 months, because I really did. I read so much. When I started smoking weed every day, I stopped reading.
They, like, really trained you with the pizza thing as a kid.
They did, man. Ooh, that was the best thing. But in, like, The Girl That Loved Tom Gordon, it's just, like, this girl gets lost in the woods. And just the horror that comes with, like, the terror of being lost in the woods in, like, a giant national park kind of, like, way, and, like, the mountains and everything. But then also as it goes on, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, what's going on out here? Like, how are these woods supernatural? And how, like, she's like fighting this like beast demon, like that's like taking the form of a bear, but it is clear it is not a bear. It's just like, you do just leave more like curious than like terrified.
Yeah. Yeah, with the Stephen King, it's like the turtle, the universe is on the back of a turtle and then something else, and they're always fighting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about all that.
and it, Pennywise, like the entity that it is like some like ancient it becomes
demon.
Like an alien type shit.
So it's like so and supernatural like, that it becomes cosmic.
Yeah, and then like less terrifying in a way.
That's more like
but that's also like with everything, like Wolverine was a way cooler character before they gave him an ord like childhood and shit.
I like anything where you kind of take either fiction or nonfiction, where you kind of take these things that could be kind of explained away and give it like a supernatural conspiracy to it. Like I read recently, like a big theory on like the Lizzie Borden murders was just like the fact that like after all that was like said and done and everything, and it became like this kind of tourist extraction. They did a lot of like remodeling on like the land that the house was like built on, and found just like all sorts of just like basically a burial ground, like just like all sorts of bodies, like hundreds of years back.
The last podcast did a couple of Lizzie Borden episodes, and I'm like in the, I don't think that there, it sounds like there's no way she did the whole thing herself.
Exactly. Like, if it is something that's just like a human doing it, like there had to be like more than one.
I'm sure that's the case.
Yeah.
I
like to subscribe to the fact that there's just like some ancient demon on this property that just like took over this girl. Cause like there's a whole bunch of stuff now too of like these people that like run the like, the it's like an a basically like a bread a bed and breakfast that you can like go and stay in, like you can stay the night in the like rooms that people were fucking like murdered in and shit. But the people who run this are like, yeah, like we have all sorts of weird stuff going on, like a lot of activity in the places where like the murder took place, but then like there's something not right in the basement, and like nothing took place down there, and there is like always shit going on, and like we hear someone and there's someone watching us. And I'm just like, I like to subscribe to the fact that that is whatever 1,000-year-old demon has been living on this property.
See, I'm very like, I'm like ultra atheist. Like, I don't think there's any in my mind, even like something like that. If I saw like a demon, like I would still be like, my theory would be like, oh, there's like a soft spot between universes, or like there's some scientific thing that's just like 100 years away from us.
I get that. I'm very much, even though I'm very much like I'm not religious, I'm not like heaven and hell kind of person, I do for some reason subscribe to like the idea of like demons and like a dark spirit or something. Like if someone were to come to me and be like, I am possessed by a demon, I'd be like, fucking sure, dude, like, okay. But like,
I just like, after like this last year of like, where I was already like, no, like didn't buy into anything supernatural, I think it's like far more likely that there's mold or some kind in that basement that makes people hallucinate.
I can, yeah, I like that. How do you feel? What do you think about aliens?
Oh, there's got to be aliens.
Yeah.
There's like more and more UFO stuff tripping out right now. And I think it's like the government is like one, like, to, like there's going to be some big scandal. And then the next day they're just going to go, look, there's aliens.
Yeah.
They're saving it for like a big like distraction.
What do you think about like the idea that like, not that like aliens are here and like integrated as people, but like aliens being on the earth and being able to like disguise themselves as like something else?
I think the most likely scenario with aliens is that they've like, if there's like UFO stuff going on, I think that's most likely like the government experimenting with planes. They haven't said publicly so far. And different branches don't know about what the other ones are doing. So, like, you get these military reports that they saw some shit, and they just don't have that clearance
that
or whatever. Yeah, I think it's that kind of shit.
Okay.
But if there's some like digital message, because like we send messages into space and shit, if we've gotten one from aliens, I think it's a like new planet Hootis situation. Like, I don't think they want anything to do with us. I don't see why we would want to have anything to do with another planet. Like, we don't have our shit together here. Like, you know, approach this like a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to fix our shit here before we go, like, fucking around with other planets.
Okay.
Because what are they? I mean, chances are their resources are also finite. And it's just going to be another group of people to be like, those motherfuckers all have gold planes. I can't get a, you know, fucking sausage biscuit the day before payday without borrowing a couple of dollars.
I don't know. One time I saw something and I want to like attest it to just like maybe some weird dude in Brunswick having like some exotic animals he shouldn't have had and like one got out or something.
Probably.
But this thing was weird, okay? It looked like a monkey. But it was, like, tall. But, like, tall like a person, but, like, taller than a monkey should be.
Oh, I'm so happy Jeremy's not here right now.
And here you are, even though he's not here to say it, to imply it.
So, but have you seen, like, I've heard, like, these, like, a lot of the Chupacabra stories, like... Mm-hmm. They've compared them to pictures of, like, a deer with, like, a weird skin disease or, like, mange or something.
Mm-hmm.
That, or different, I don't know, there's, like, foxes look super fucking weird without hair.
Like, yeah, I can attest that to sightings, but, like, how they suck in them goats?
What do you mean?
Like, the goats. Chupacabras, they suck the chupacabra, it's a goat sucker.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that part.
Yeah, so, like, the whole thing with the chupacabra is that, like, it's the Mexican goat sucker. It literally, like, goes and, like, takes people's goats or livestock and, like, drains the blood from it.
Oh,
so it's like,
that.
I can attest with, like, seeing something and being like, that's a chupacabra.
Those are shape-shifting vampires pretending to be chupacabras.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I don't know. Maybe there. I don't know. Is there another? Are there any animals that drain blood?
I mean,
there's like vampire bat.
We've got the computer. We can look it up. What animals drain blood? Mosquitoes. Chupacabras. There's mutant mosquitoes. Damn, I'm allergic to mosquitoes. Can you imagine how I'd puff up from a chupacabra bite?
Do you know what the first Google hit is when you type in animals?
What?
Animals with Down syndrome.
Okay, but have you seen animals with Down syndrome before?
Oh, is this one of these, like chompy puppers types things?
You look at them and you're both very sad, but also like, oh, it's adorable. Because, like, yeah, anything that's like an animal with Down syndrome does come from, like, basically inbreeding. So you just feel bad for this, like, animal bred in captivity so many times. I'm specifically thinking of, there's one of those, like, Siberian tigers with Down syndrome that I've seen a picture of a bunch, and I just want to hug them.
So there's, the first thing is 8 animals that suck blood. Mosquitoes, fleas, mm-hmm. bed bugs, oxpecker. That's a bird, apparently.
Okay.
Red-billed oxpecker. Vampire finch. The sharp-beaked ground finch.
So it sounds like...
Leeches. Something called a lamprey.
Ooh, have you ever seen a lamprey?
No.
They're scary.
And vampire bats.
Okay, so one, it sounds like there's nothing that sucks blood that has, like, a mammal build to it.
Well,
everything's like an insect or like a slippery leech or a bird. Two, lampreys are really fucking scary. They have circular mouths. They're like eels. they're just like a fucking little like tube with a circular mouth on it that has like a whole bunch of teeth all around the mouth, and it latches on you and sucks your blood.
Ooh, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, look it up. It's scary.
Some kind of catfish?
Oh no. Could you imagine some hillbilly noodling and getting its blood sucked by a catfish?
Researchers knew for some time that small catfish called pigadiddies could be lured with raw meat and sometimes fed on dead mammals left in the water.
Mm. My senior year of high school, I had a government class that took up like 2 semesters, and the last semester that this teacher had before he retired. And so like the last semester of our government class, we didn't actually do anything. We just watched a whole bunch of hillbilly hand fishing noodling videos, because when he retired, he was moving somewhere he could noodle.
Listen to this. The vampire squid.
Oh no. What is it?
The name translate literally means vampire squid from hell.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a tiny deep sea dwelling cephalopod.
Yeah.
Rarely growing over 6 inches in length, but has giant eyes. Largest eye to body ratio in the entire animal kingdom.
Bro, it just says in the next paragraph. Well, yeah. Scroll back up, and the very next paragraph, it says, sadly, the vampire squid doesn't actually drink blood. It lives by gobbling up marine snow. It gets its name instead because it appears to have a cape made of webbing between its arms, reminiscent of the one often worn by Count Dracula. What the fuck?
It would be a lot cooler if it drank blood.
Yeah. How about you don't call something a vampire something unless it sucks blood?
Also, largest eye-to-body ratio in the entire animal kingdom. Yeah, now that Brittany Murphy's dead.
Damn. R.I.P. the angel Brittany Murphy.
Did you ever see the movie Big Eyes?
No. But I remember, like, hearing about it.
It's based on a true story.
Yeah, those big-eyed paintings and the lady actually.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Plays the husband. The movie's really good because he's great. And, he, like, is manipulating his wife into, like, he takes credit for all the paintings and shit for, like, years and years.
Decades.
And they become rich and.
And then she sues the fuck out of them.
Yeah. Christoph Waltz. Is that a good impression?
That was great.
Christoph Waltz.
And he does say his name.
He does. That's what the first thing he says in every scene. It's like, hello, I'm Christoph Waltz.
Hello.
I am German.
Yeah.
I don't know any German. Nine.
Dankeschön. That's how you say thank you.
You know what my favorite thing is in Inglourious Bastards? Is Gorlami.
Dylan was just talking about a moment in Inglourious Bastards where Brad Pitt says sandwiches really funny. And he just like remarked the other day, he's like, oh, there's this part in Inglourious Bastards where Brad Pitt says something about like sandwiches.
That's the kind of shit I pick up on in movies too.
Yeah.
Fucking Pineapple Express.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes, I just want to design playgrounds with bathrooms so little kids can take shits, man. and then in No Way Home, in the last Spider-Man movie, Jamie Foxx, when he sees Andrew Garfield's version of Spider-Man again, he goes, you ain't even the shit no more. And Andrew Garfield just hangs his head down and goes, oh. And I just think it's so fucking funny.
Whenever I think of Pineapple Express, I just think of the line when Danny McBride holds up that gun. And he's like, this is the tiny gun I used when I was a prostitute.
There's a lot of, I know you're not supposed to like James Franco anymore, but he has like, he was, every movie, he's very good at like the throwaway shit that's just like, Like, why is that funny?
Mm-hmm.
I thought hurricane season was over.
Bro, when that security guard lady is like, got my children coming back here, eyes redder than the devil's dick.
That's one of the funniest movies ever, in my opinion.
So funny. I just rewatched it not too long ago.
Yeah.
I'm just a slut for Danny McBride, so.
Yeah.
God, I love Danny McBride.
It sucks because Franco and, I'm sure we've talked about this at length. Mm-hmm. Fucking The Disaster Artist.
Yep.
It's perfect Tommy Wiseau and shit.
It's so good.
And also, Dave Franco is really great.
Oh, I love Dave Franco.
And, yeah, I feel bad that he gets tied to the whole thing so
much. I love Dave Franco. I loved him in Neighbors.
I would love to see Dave Franco and Casey Affleck do a movie.
I would like to see that too. I just like
And then who's the other Hemsworth? The younger Hemsworth brother?
Oh, Liam.
Liam had like the three of them should do like they should be do the Justice League or something. Oh wait, no, that would still be in the same.
Damn.
Casey Affleck should be Batman.
He should.
That would really upset people. You know, that other kid can keep doing it, though. He's fine.
He's allowed.
Yeah. What were we talking about earlier? I feel like we were on a tangent for, like, the last 20 minutes.
What do you mean, earlier in the podcast?
Yeah.
Like while we were recording?
Yeah.
Talked about Weird Al.
I think some of this was going somewhere where we're going to bring up something. Have we shit on Jeremy this episode much?
Not really.
Yeah, it's kind of a... It's not fun right now.
Yeah, we'll do that later.
Yeah, we got to get him better and then...
Tear him apart.
We're in a rebuilding stage right
now. We tear Jeremy apart and then we build him back up. Yeah. And we just tear him to shreds again.
Yeah. R.I.P. buddy.
Big rip. He's alive. He's just suffering.
Yeah. All right. I mean, the whole world's suffering.
Yep. That's why we got to go to Cedar Point.
It is.
Cedar Point's the only place that you can go and you can just forget about the world suffering for a hot second. Until you look at the Tapital Dragster and remember that lady that got doinked. And then you remember some of the world's suffering. But then right next to it's a corn dog, so you're fine.
I'm surprised we're not at Cedar Point right now.
Honestly, kind of same. I want to be there right now. It's hot as shit. I want to wear some shitty shoes. I don't mind getting wet. And I want to go on that ride where it's like the circular raft.
The log thing?
Not like the drop.
The log was Cedar or Geauga Lake.
They do also have one of those log ones that like goes down like the big slide and you get splashed. But I'm specifically thinking about the one. It's like the rapids ride where you're in like the circular like boat thing and it like bobs everywhere and you don't know which way it's going.
I made the mistake of going on that log thing in jeans as a fat kid.
Yep.
And your jeans get wet and then your skin comes off with them.
I own a pair of very ill-fitting Cedar Point shorts because I went on the log ride in jean shorts and then was like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I would rather just be fat and have everything hanging out and deal with the pain and embarrassment of that. Than the pain of wet jean chafing.
Yeah. That explains a lot about Cedar Point in the summer.
It really does. Oh, yeah. I took my shirt off last time. I had a tank top on, but like I was like, I can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
And the Cedar Point Gold Pass, too, it gets you into the water park.
Nice.
I want to go to the water park.
I think I'm going to buy a pass today.
Yeah, do it.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm trying
to get out of here.
I'm trying to convince Dylan. It's time.
Just close the show. I'll edit the silence out. I won't since I said something.
God damn
now
it.
To fill it up. But hey, Tabitha, close the show.
You got it, buddy. those of you lucky enough to have your lives, take them with ya. However, leave the limbs you've lost. They belong to me now.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.